Kindness Warriors podcast with me, your host, Cassie Roma. This week's podcast episode is pretty exciting. I've got a double gold medal Olympian on the line for another We Linked Up live stream. So this episode, like the last one with Ashley Nathan, was recorded live on LinkedIn and Facebook. Looks like this is going to be something that's regular from now on. So if we're not connected on LinkedIn or Facebook, head over and, you know, send me a little request. Cassie Roma on both. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. My friend Eric Murray, who is just the coolest cat on the planet, as well as a high-performance athlete and a coach and a dad and a friend. He's just easy to talk to and is full of wisdom and knowledge. So enjoy this episode, and if you have any questions or there's anything or anyone you'd like me to talk to in the future, drop me a line. As always, thank you so much for your time, for your polite, engaged feedback, and for just being here with us.
And it's because I didn't hit the live button, now we're live. Hi everybody, welcome. Showing up. Another LinkedIn chat with my buddy. Hey, buddy. For the people who are just listening, can you introduce yourself?
Well, I did write down the bottom. I said Eric the Viking because it's sometimes I've been described that way. Eric Murray, what's the best way? Double Olympic gold medalist, eight-time world champion, and general all-around nice Kiwi bloke. Let's put it that way.
I was going to say just one of the nicest dudes I know. A little bit silly.
We all are. It's this trap that you fall into where you're meant to be growing up, but you don't want to grow up too much because you need that sort of lightheartedness in your life, surely.
Okay, this is not even a question I had for you. What is up with that? Why do we as children? So the question that we always get asked, right, is what do you want to be when you grow up? And I think it was John Lennon, one of those things, his answer was happy. And one of his teachers said, oh, I don't think you understand the question. And he said, well, I think you understand life. Why do we ask kids that? Why do we have to think about who we're going to be when we grow up?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, when you look at the world currently and the way that it's gone, and even when I look at my life, that you can't, even though, and you're the same, you know, you go into it and, oh, this is the direction I want to go and this is where I want to take my life. And then all of a sudden you're like, actually, I'm not sure if that pathway, I really like it. And so you jump ship and you go somewhere else. And what I've come to, I guess, to terms with is whatever you decide to do in your life and whichever path you go down, you have to accept it. You have to accept the choices that you make. And if they turn out well, great. If they don't, oh, well. But you've got to accept the outcome of whatever you decide. And that's basically what I sort of try and live my life by.
Have you always felt like you had a path? Because I know we're friends, so you know this about me, but I never have felt like I've had a path. I just kind of follow my curiosity. And then I'm one of those people, maybe because I was raised by an athlete. So my dad played for the Dodgers baseball. So I was always raised with, if you're going to try it, like, go full bore, go in. But I've never had like a path. Have you had a path? Have you known what your path was?
Well, I was on the selfish pursuit as an athlete to be the best in the world. And that literally just universe
nailed it
around nailed here. It. And you just go full bore. You go 100% in on it and there's no stone unturned. You know, life sort of just like leaves you by. And it's one thing that I say it to a lot of the young athletes and stuff that are coming through. The problem is that people talk about it as a sacrifice. And I was like, guess what? It's not a sacrifice, because should I got paid by the taxpayer to sit on my ass for like 15 years? Is that a sacrifice? You know, I was in Europe. Well, you guys here in New Zealand, winter. Is that a big sacrifice? So whatever you decide to do, there's always something. There's an opportunity cost. And so my pathway was just to try and be the best, get to the Olympics, try and win medals. It took me two Olympics to figure out, hey, that's not how to do it. Third Olympics, I'm finally getting there. So that was my path that I was trying to go on. And when I finally got there, I was like, awesome. Now let's see how long I can stay here for, or where can I take it from this point onwards. And then there comes a point in time where, especially as an athlete days are over. And you have to move on and do something else. And it's no different than other people. And, you know, you could be an accountant loving your job, and then you finally start, this is getting boring. This is getting boring. You know what? I'm sick of this. I'm going to go buy a cafe and be a barista, or I'm going to go get a bakery and bake some goods or whatever. And that's just literally how a lot of people in this world are feeling. And it's like, if you want to do something, just bloody do it. And that's really the philosophy.
I feel like 2020 has been one of those years where a lot of us who've had, I guess, friends that we can talk to, like you and I and other people, where we can have more introspective conversations. When we think about evolution and where we're going, it really comes down to presence of mind. Because you said barista. Seriously, that was one of the things I wanted to learn. Wanted to learn a guitar. I had a guitar lesson yesterday, and it's really kicking my ass today. But when you, like, when you think about the evolved self and where you're going and following your passions, you know, your mindset, and you just mentioned it too with younger athletes today, where it's the opportunity cost with life. When it comes to that following your passions, how do you calculate that opportunity cost to go, okay, I might not want to be an accountant anymore. Barista is the way to go because, hey, the world might end. We might have a zombie apocalypse or a once in a lifetime pandemic.
Yeah, I was just about to say, oh man, you couldn't have forecasted it for anything. It's a tricky question because, you know, there's a whole lot of people sitting there going, you know, what is my purpose? What am I doing? You know, I don't know if this is really appropriate, but like one of my favorite movies is like The Matrix, you know, and you've got Morpheus sitting there going, you've got a purpose. You've got a specific job, you're doing it. And it's like, wow, okay. And we're all little parts in this whole crazy world that's going on. And I think a lot of it really just comes down to like happiness. I know that's such a cliche thing to say, that people are like, oh, you know, but doesn't matter, you're earning a shit ton of money and that. And it's like, yeah, but are you really that happy? Like, what do you want to achieve? How do you want to do it? And even my boss that I work with, his whole philosophy is around giving back. And he's like, you know, I'm making enough money. Why can't I give back to people? So I'm not this person that if I want a whole lot of money, is going to go buy a Lamborghini and drive around in it. Like, I'd rather help people or do things. And I think it just really is the way you grow up and the environments that you're in really just dictate how you want to do it. But read information, you know, and we've got such a massive world of information and communication. You can just look at stuff and make your own decisions. But of course, as I say, I think I got taken into the deputy principal's office as a teenager because I was causing shit in school. And he was one person that really got to me and said, look, you're going to have a pathway in life. You can make all the bad decisions that you want, but something's going to click in you one day and you're just going to go, that's what I want to do. That's where I'm going to take it. And he goes, and if you want to swear at a teacher, there's a consequence around it, you know, and you'll get suspended from school. Yeah. That's it. And move on, enjoy your life, get on with it, you know, do what you want. And I was like, wow, is this person that always growling me for being naughty is actually giving me a little bit of advice. And you just start to mature and you just grow and you blossom into this amazing butterfly that you've got right here in front of you now, you know?
I mean, the butterfly with all of your, look at your champion du monde behind you.
That's a nice picture.
I hate to brag, but...
Oh, it's a little bit wanky. I'm going to put it there and say that.
But if I had one of those, I would just like tattoo it on myself, Eric. Yeah. So you're fine. So when you talk about things that, you know, purpose and passion and all that kind of stuff, rower Eric, you're still doing a lot of rowing stuff. You've got a business that you're working through, all of that. But what is the thing you talked there? Your little nugget was, you said it was cliche, but I think you're spot on, is happiness. So what's the thing now that's driving you, that gets you out of bed in the morning, that brings you that kind of happiness?
Yeah. So I work with Concept 2 and we do a lot of work with Concept 2. And so obviously gym equipment, rowing machine, ski machine, bike, that's really in the fitness industry. But at the same time, we're working with a lot of groups, you know, there's a lot of CrossFit people that use it, goes into gyms, but we also work with a lot of disabled kids because they can get on the rowing machine. I run the Indoor Rowing Association in New Zealand, so we're trying to get disabled people to use the rowing machine because there's a pathway for them to actually go on to like world indoor rowing competitions. At the same time, my son's on the autistic spectrum, so I am patron for Autism New Zealand, so I do a little bit of work around there and finding opportunities. And then I work with an app development company that we do coaching programs and stuff on the rowing machine. So there's sort of quite a lot of scope around things that I'm doing. And at the moment, a lot of decisions that I make are around my son because of his autism and working and stuff like that. But at the same time with my boss, Gary, because he's giving back so much, we just recently had a kid that came to us and said, look, I need to get my rowing time down to make it into the development team. Can you help me out? And he's like, how are we going to help him? And I said, right, let's get him a program. We'll design him up something. Got it. He nailed it last week. And now he's going to be in the program. So it's just doing things like that where you're like, you get a little bit of like, it makes me feel good, you know, getting up, helping people, going and doing things. You know, we go and run a program once a year, which is sort of obviously put off this year with the Helberg Disability Trust. So they run an indoor rowing thing in at King's College with all the kids. And you should see the smile on their faces. So trying to do that in different places around, I've just found that I've been giving back a lot. And it's been just fulfilling because it's like, you know, I've done something pretty special, and it would be sort of be prudent of me just to sit here and live back on that rather than going out there and helping other people and just sharing the experiences. And dare I say it, we do a lot of public speaking and bits and pieces, but I love going and talking to sports groups, you know, and even though it didn't work very well this year, but I went and spoke with the Chiefs this year. But also I spoke with the Crusaders last year. So it's just nice to be able to like share your experiences and go, look, this made me into a successful person. This is what I was thinking. It worked for me. If there's something you can take out of it or use in that same situation, then by all means, just try it. See if it works for you. And any advice you give somebody, it might not necessarily work for them, but if they can try it and it does, then awesome. If there's some little nugget, you know, that we talk about and some one little sentence or one little quote that somebody gets from somebody and thinks that's amazing, it can make such a massive difference in your life. And that's really what I'm trying to find.
So what I took away from that is you're not very busy. You're
not very busy.
Not keeping busy at all in 2020.
these calls like this, instead of me sitting here having a Coke or something, dare I say it, in lockdown level 4, man, there was just beers and beers and beers. those 10 o'clock beers, eh?
Well, I think most people probably don't know that you are good at most things you do, and your DIY skills are freaking 10 out of 10. How much of your life have you dedicated to DIY this year?
Oh, well, lockdown, I managed to redecorate three rooms in my house. I knocked out a couple of walls, and it is code of compliance, and it actually came in about 20 minutes before we got on this this call. So FYI. So I had a, I've got an old sort of 60s sort of state house type thing, and it's got an inset front door. So we pulled that front door right out, and it was right next to the master bedroom. So I bashed out the wall, put a cavity slider in, and I built an ensuite. So now my house has gone from 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom to having 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom in this really cool looking ensuite. And it all basically happened in lockdown because I was able to, there was nothing much else to do. So we were, I was just renovating when my boy wasn't here. I was doing massive hours and just going, and I love it. You know, I just love being creative and just doing bits and pieces like that. So that's sort of been my passion for a while, but I've run out of money, so I'm on a bit of a break.
there's not enough money month at the end of the money. Going to be my next question to you about creativity. I know you're really passionate about the power of sports and teamwork and kind of transforming the life of kids. And when I think about it and think about all the sports I played, which ended in college, university, I think about how the teamwork has helped me think and creatively solve problems as I've gone through life, and also to be okay with the losses as they come around. So how do you view creativity in the scope of your life? DIY is a plus.
Yeah, I think that different people, I think people develop in different ways, and I was never a leader. So I was very happy just doing what I was told and following. But then there were points in time where I was like, actually, now I feel like I've got the ability to have a bit of a voice. So as it ended up eventuating, especially like through the sport wise, I can sit there and take as much criticism or as much compliment or whatever as I can. But I can also give back as much as possible as well and help either side. So the ability to actually know when to be a leader and when to be a follower is a really great asset to have. I definitely don't think, you know, because it's very, very hard. And, you know, you've only got to look at some of the big companies around New Zealand and stuff. It's very, very, very hard to be a leader. You know, to be the person that tells people what they should and shouldn't be doing and how to do it. It is quite a really specific skill. And I don't think I've in any way, shape or form have mastered it. I know when there's points in time where I've got to speak up and play my part. But also at the same time, you've got to be able to work with everybody else. And like over the sporting sense, and it's so easy to do it. The biggest thing that you learn is that you're only as strong as your weakest link. Okay. Yes. And when you're struggling, when a team's struggling or somebody's not pulling their weight, the easiest thing to do is go, come on, man, you're dragging the chain. This is slowing us down. This is bullshit, you know, whatever you're doing. Okay. Complete wrong attitude. Over time, you figure out, okay, you're struggling. How do we help? What do we need to do? Because if you're not on, if you're not on the game, none of us are on game. So what do you need? Do you want to pass some weight? Do you want to pass some load over this way? What's happening at home? What's doing this? You know, can we help in any way? Are you struggling? What's going on? Because first and foremost, we go, ah, get rid of them. They're useless. Get out of them. But there becomes a point in time when you're going to be the weakest link. I figured that out quite early on, and I was like, man, okay, don't gang up on the people that are struggling. How do you help them out? And if it takes a long time, or if you find that they can't get to that point, okay, they're a dead loss. But the fact is you have to start by trying to help, trying to get on top of it and work as a team. And it's as simple as that. And that's really what teamwork involves, is the ability for everybody to be able to share the loads, take a lot of responsibility at some times and then leave it and just follow at other times. And that's really what teamwork comes down to. And it's the other side of it is that you actually have to learn about it and you have to develop that, you know, because I can explain it to people, but unless you're living it and breathing it and actually seeing how it develops, I can't tell you what to do. Do this, do this, do this. You actually have to go, look, this is my experience here. Does this relate to what you're thinking or how experiences that have happened to you? And that's probably one of the biggest things around teamwork for sure.
Yeah, I know in my corporate life, so the most of the hiring that I've done as I've grown through corporate life, the hires that I've made, I've specifically looked for, and I don't think this is illegal, I've specifically looked for people who played sports. because exactly what you said was that when I played basketball, while you were talking, I went straight back to being 18 years old. And our basketball team, we came from a small, like, redneck school. We had 7 players instead of 14. We were in Division III, not Division I, but we've been playing together since we were like 8 years old. And I can remember one of our weakest links, we were doing our running drills, and we had to make it in a certain time, and there were 2 girls who couldn't make it. And a few people on the team got into that place that you talked about, that, oh my God, they're dead weight. Come on, hurry up, and started to get frustrated. And co-captains, myself and my best friend, went, nah, we are going to run every line with them. If they're going to come in last, we're going to come in behind them. And we were just going to make our minimum, their maximum, and then swap that out. But I've been able to apply that at every point in my life, and specifically to business, because at some point you're like, actually, that was the person who made the 3-pointer that got us to the final, because ran every line with that person. So I feel like with sports, things that are so applicable are beyond the medals or the certificates on the wall. You know, it is how you play nicely in life and the application of that.
Oh, and it's with the whole thing with life is that, like, you know, someone came up to me and said, oh, you know, if I'm in the business, and they're like, oh, you know, can you look at these accounts? And I'll be like, no, I'm terrible at it. Can you explain them to me? You know what I mean? And this is what happens in an organization, is that people have specific skills, and they have that specific skill for a reason. It's to blend everybody together to be able to get the most harmony and for things to run really well. Like, everybody has a specific job There's a reason why they're there. And a lot of times you can find in a lot of workplaces that there might be a person in the workplace that is not that good at what they're doing, but the fact is that they might make the place really just harmonious, yes. or they might be a great mediator, or they might be the yes. older person that everybody dumps on with their problems. And you go, we're going to keep that person here. Their productivity is crap. But the fact is that everybody goes, you know, I'm really struggling at home, you know, old 60-year-old lady. Oh, you know, tell me about this, tell me about that, because it's so yeah. friendly. And that's the thing. In all of this life situation, there's a time and a place where people are going to be in yeah. certain areas, and you just got to learn to live with that.
Yeah. And I think for me, that was one of the biggest easiest decisions to make, was to leave the corporate world after so long of people being judged by their output instead of what they were also putting in from a human perspective. I think businesses are starting to say the right things right now, but it's, you know, putting the action or that the plan in action, where you look at heart counts instead of head counts that matters
yeah.
so much more.
It's changed so much. And like, I'm just currently, I'm just starting to read a lot of the articles around like the canoe racing and a bit of bullying and bits and pieces online. And it's so hard to sit here and go, oh, like, because the world's changed so much around like mental health and the way that you treat yes. people and things like that. But there's still, I look at it and I read about it and I see my own experiences. And I'm like, there is a time and a place where things need to be harmonious and you want them to be well. But then there's a time and a place where success means success. And success yes. isn't easy. It's not easy at all. If you want to be the best at something, it doesn't just happen and fall in your lap. You know, if you have to walk over top of somebody, dare I say it, to get in that position or to be the best, there comes a point in time when that has to happen. You know, and when you're taking four people and you go, one of you is going to the Olympics and the other three are not, guess what? You're not going to go, oh, okay, boy, should we just do this nice and fair? It's like, I will literally roll over top of you to make sure I make it. You know what I mean? And so this is the business world and everything we work in. So trying to balance being fair to people, but then also we need results and I'm paying your bills and this is for a promotion and this is that. It's like, man, it's such a wide world of so many different facets that are trying to come together, that it's ever changing. And it's just, it's just social acceptance. It's all of the rest of it. And you just got to either move with the times or you're going to get left behind.
That's right. And it's, and you just talked about success too. And I think one of the greatest things that I've learned as an older lady now, because I'm older than you, Eric.
What, like 1 year?
Yeah.
What are you like, 30, what are you, 30, 38 now, aren't you?
Oh, well, you aren't my 39.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm.
How soon we forget, but keep forgetting every year. That's good. But like, you can change the way you view success as well, right? So for me, like, success for a long time was, what's the next step? How much am I making? What is my title? And I finally reached the point where I'm like, I'm on a real good wicket. I've got a cool title. I'm working with good people. And then I was like, exactly what you said earlier. Maybe I should learn to be a barista, because then I get to chat to Eric and then he's just having a coffee and I don't have to have the stress. So success is different. But if success is getting to the Olympics, then you have to play by the rules of that game.
Yeah. It's a funny one in life. And like, I sit here sometimes just going, like, to be fair, I think the way that I'm looking at things, I'm quite content with how things are going. You know, do I want to be this? Do I want to be like a multi-billionaire? Well, I definitely chose the wrong sport to be bloody super rich at, man. And it is, it's a situation, you know, if that's what's driving you, that cool, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Go do it. You know, go hard, get to where you want to go. But I think there is one thing, and there's one thing that I wish they taught a little bit more in schools, and it is stuff around like consequences and just yes. pathways in life and you know, choices that you need to make, which is sort of what we've been chatting about on here, because you know, we teach kids like this and this and this, but a lot of it is just real life situations. Like, okay, you get into that car and you're feeling tired, what can happen? Bang, there's two pathways. You get home fine, you crash and you kill your mates. Okay, then where does that pathway lead? Because it's probably not going to come back this way to being on a successful job and a career. You're either going to jail or you're going this way to like have a criminal conviction, never going overseas. So, you know, stuff like that, telling people, going, you know, you punch that guy at a party and he kills himself, guess what? Think about it before it happens. And this flows from the kids into the life. You know, you go, do I really want to tell my boss and give him the middle finger? Or should I just go, look, let me just go, look, I'm not happy here. I'm just going to take a bit of time and I might end up leaving, you know, because the moment you go, you know, you're effing BBB, you know, whatever, then of course, when you try and get another good idea. I know, but this is a consequence, because at the time, that's all you want to do. You're like, I can't wait to tell him to take a leap. But then of course, that is going to affect you in the future. So, you know, all of these consequences and pathways and bits and pieces just like flow into one another all the way through your life.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel pretty lucky that, especially with my mom, she was really good at telling me that, look, you can make a decision. And she was also really good at making me think I was making decisions for myself when I was a little girl. She'd be like, you get three options. So I thought I was making all the decisions, but no, she gave me three options. You know, you can pick the macaroni and cheese or the pizza or the pork chop. And I'd be like, ooh, I'm a decision maker. But she was always very much like, if you choose to drive tired and this happens, this is the consequence, and you must then pay the price for that consequence. So how do you envision yourself, and is that something that's good for you, for your mates, for all of those things? So I don't know, I feel like we're living in a time where, so Chelsea, my daughter's 14 and she's at school, and they talk a lot about these things. They're starting to talk about what's happening in the world. They're talking about the Black Lives Matter movement in the States, and things that are applicable to it here. And for me, when she comes home and she tells me the conversations that she's having in class, my heart just feels so good, because we never had those conversations. You know, the kids are so much more wise. I think she knows more than I do as far as that just humanity perspective. I feel like the kids are all right, or they're going to be all right.
This is the TikTok generation, eh, that are like getting on top of old Mr. Orange Face over in America, right?
Oh, I was telling a story a few weeks ago, before we were in our last lockdown. We took Chelsea and her best friend Alex out for lunch, and we were driving along to Takapuna, go get some sushi. And I thought I was the cool mom, and I was telling them about TikTok and all of, you know, the tickets that all the kids bought on TikTok for Trump's speech. And Alex pipes up from the back seat, this kid from the North Shore. He's like, oh yeah, I got three of them. And I was like, what? I was like, did you read this thing online on the traditional media? He's like, oh no, I've got three tickets. And then he shows me, and I was like, man, you kids are awesome. You're cool.
It's changing world, eh? I sometimes look back and go, I remember buying my first cell phone like 1999. And I'm like, man, it's only just over 20 years ago, you know, and you think, man, where are we going to be in 20 years time? And like the generation at the moment, they're going to just supersede us. And it's, even now I struggle to keep up with everything that's going on. I'm like, man, I'm in my late 30s. And I think I watch enough and see enough on the internet to make decisions. I'm like, what's this? hang on. What? It's like, yeah.
That's what half the stuff that's going on Instagram, where I'm supposedly, you know, an expert. I'm asking my kid, or I'm asking my 72-year-old mom back home, Mom, how did you get to that polling place from your Instagram story if you don't have a swipe up function? She's like, rolls her eyes. Oh, Cass. I'm like, okay, you're the cool one now. Hey, I have one more question that I really wanted to ask you before we go. And actually two. So the first one is, what's your advice as an elite athlete, but also somebody who has a lot of knowing and becoming in you? What's some advice for somebody who wants to start something new? Like somebody, maybe they've reached their journey, they want to be a rower, or maybe they want to play the guitar or whatever it is. What's your advice for somebody when they're starting something new?
Exactly what I've said before. Whatever you get into in life, and no matter what you do, you just have to accept the choice that you make. And it is, you know, it's, if I relate it to like the rowing that we did, it was like, okay, we're going to train a certain method and it's going to take us down this path. Is that going to eventuate with a world championship title or is it not? And then you go, no, okay, let's bring the path back this way and we'll try it again. And there's no set amount of time. You know, people get really worried and get really focused, like going, man, it hasn't happened in 6 months or it hasn't happened in a year. And you go, okay, they say life's short, but man, there's so much time to get things done. So people sweat the small things and they're like all worried. And it is patience. Like, you know, for you to play the guitar, it's going to take you a year or two. You know, it's not going to happen in 6 months unless you played it like 8 hours a day. And then you'd be like, okay, that's, but you've got to have a job and you've got to pay your bills. So you can't do that. But if you're doing 2 or 3 hours a day, then all of a sudden you get slowly better and better and better. And that's probably the other part of it as well, is that you get good at something quite quickly. Okay. You can, I wouldn't say master something, but you can get the grasp of something really quickly, quite quickly. Okay. But to get good at it, or even really good at it, just takes so much time. And that's rowing in a nutshell. So it takes 90% of your time to do the last 10%. It's as simple as that. You know, you spend years and years and years and years and years building right up to this top level. And then, of course, you're getting this tiny percentage at the top trying to become the best. And it's seconds. You know, it's 3 or 4 seconds that you're trying to find. And you're like, oh, man, like it takes so many years of your life to do that. And so it is. It's just patience. And it's just taking the time and accepting whatever choice you make, live by the consequence. And if you look back and go, okay, that didn't work out, don't dwell on it. Move on, because you can't change the past. Keep moving forward and just
make, I love that
decision. Yep.
Yeah. Well, but right, we just have this very moment right now. We don't have, the future is hopefully going to be there. The past is gone. It's absolutely out there. All right, last question, my friend, and I like to ask everybody this. Shout out somebody in your life who is a kindness warrior, that it might be that teacher you mentioned earlier, or your parents, somebody that has lived and breathed kindness. And that doesn't mean they're weak or nice, but who's influenced your life in a way that you're like, yeah, that person's a kindness warrior.
Wow. Mm. Wow. That's a tricky one on the spot. Yeah, so like there's a lot of people that have inputted on my life in different ways. And I guess at the moment, it's definitely my boss, Gary Reed. So he owns Concept Tour New Zealand, and he's an ex-rower himself. But his philosophies over the years, like he's a successful businessman, you know, a lot of property and a lot of, you know, investments and all this sort of stuff. But he's just, he's got all this money and he's got all this stuff that he's doing. He basically got to a point and he's going, why are we here? What are we doing? Yeah. And so everything that he's like is, he's like, I want you to just give back. You know, if someone asks you to do something, you know, can you help this kid out? We've got someone needs a program. They want to get their kid into an American scholarship. Can you help them out? Can you do some training with them and all of this? So his whole thing is like, he's making enough money and it's done all this, but he just wants to give back to people. And so that's where I come in, because we have great conversations. We've got great common interests and everything else. So we just complement each other, because he really wants to give back and he knows I've got skills to give back to each other. And that's what we're doing. So in terms of kindness, like, dare I say it, our accountant like hits him up all the time, because they're like, oh, look, we're missing 5 machines from the inventory. He's like, oh, I gave them away to people, you know, and you're just like, Gary, you got to stop giving stuff away. But that's what he is. He just like gives it away. Go to some function and there's like a kid there and he'd be like, oh, well, do you want to keep the machine? Here, take it. Take it home for your family. And it's just like, oh, okay, wow. Yeah. So, you know, like different people. And I think that's the best part is, I'd love to be in a position, you know, I'm disappointed I didn't win that $50 million, because I could have done some amazing, great things with it, you know, and helped so many different people. And I think in terms of the kindness warrior, I think that I can talk about Gary, but I think that you have to find it within yourself. You know, you have to be able to help people, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your family, whether it's your brother or sister, you know, whatever it might be, just the simple little things can make such a big difference in somebody's life. You know, it's the person that doesn't have the $10 and they're trying to buy something at the supermarket. You go, look, do you want me to pay for that? You know, all of a sudden, you don't know what that person's going through. You don't know their life. And so you go, look, can I help you out in some way? And the simplest little thing that for us, you know, $20, it's like having a coffee and some breakfast at a cafe. That could mean that their kids have food for the next 2 days, you know? And it's a simple little thing that you can be the kindness warrior if you make sure you find that within yourself. You know, and that's really, I guess, the best piece of advice.
You're such a dude. I just love you to pieces, Eric. Thank you for making the time. Thank you for making the time today. I cannot wait for our beers coming up soon at your place.
Yeah, come down.
Maybe in like 3 weeks.
Next time you're in Cambridge.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Soon. I think like in 3 weeks. So we might be seeing you soon. Sweet. I'll bring the beers. You DIY the house. And we'll just chat for hours.
Yeah. Sleep out there if you need a place to stay. Free accommodation.
Probably safe now that we've been talking about consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zero driving. Okay. Thank you so much, Eric, for your time. I really appreciate you and all of your advice. There's heaps and heaps of questions and comments here. And hopefully I'll get back to everybody on that too. So you're a dude, sweet man. Love you and take care of yourself.
Right, you bye. Too, buddy. Catch you.